Thank you for joining me today. This is Conversations with Ray Martinez. This is week 4 of our study on the fruit of the Spirit. Today we'll talk about patience. They say one of the greatest American prayers is, God, give me patience and give it to me right now. Our scripture reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. And here the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy about his own example of patience and endurance in the face of persecution. Here's what it says. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. In this passage, Paul lists patience among the qualities that Timothy has observed in him. Paul's reference to his own patience in enduring persecutions serves as an example for Timothy to follow his own ministry. The Bible describes patience as the ability to endure waiting, delay, or provocation without becoming annoyed or upset. It emphasizes attributes such as perseverance, long-suffering, and forbearance. Patience is often linked with trust in God's timing and wisdom. Now, sometimes you have to have patience for that, right? So the patience we're talking about is God gives us what I call supernatural favor, to have this ability to have patience. So patience can be a supernatural favor from God. Here's a couple of biblical stories that illustrates patience. And then we all know most of these stories, the story of Job. Job's story in the book of Job is a prime example of patience. Despite facing immense suffering, loss, and affliction, Job remains faithful to God and patiently endures his trials. Even when his friends offer misguided advice and accuse him of wrongdoing, Job maintains his integrity and trust in God's justice. In the end, Job is rewarded for his patience and faithfulness. We talked about Joseph a little bit last week, but here's another man that has some great patience. The story of Joseph in the book of Genesis showcases patience in the face of adversity. Joseph was sold into slavery, as you all know, by his jealous brothers, falsely accusing him and causing him to be in prison, and yet he remains steadfast in his faith and integrity. Despite enduring years of hardship and injustice, Joseph eventually rises to the position of power in Egypt, where he is able to reconcile with his family and fulfill God's purpose of his life. You can read that in Genesis chapter 37 through 50 about the life of Joseph. It's a great story to read. I like the way Joyce Meyer frames it. Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Joseph knew how to wait with such a great attitude. An example that highlights patience is the parable of the persistent widow. We can read that in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. In this parable, Jesus teaches about the importance of persistent prayer and patience. He tells the story of a widow who persistently seeks justice from an unjust judge. Despite the judge's initial refusal, the widow continues to plead her case until he grants her justice. Jesus concludes the parable by really emphasizing that if an unjust judge can eventually grant justice due to the persistence of a widow, then surely God, who is just and loving, will respond to the prayers of his people who cry out to him day and night. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which is our main reference of this verse, is our key resource for our continued study about the fruit of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul lists patience as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It emphasizes the importance of patience in cultivating a Christ-like character and living out the Christian faith. In today's society, healthcare workers, especially those on the front lines during the COVID-19 pandemic, are exemplary models of patience. They consistently demonstrated patience in the face of challenging circumstances, long hours, and high-stress environments. Their dedication to providing care and compassion and support to patients, often under difficult conditions, showcases a remarkable level of patience and resilience. An exemplary example of patience is Fred Rogers, known as Mr. Rogers. Some of you remember him, some of you don't even know him, but he was a TV icon. And through his television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighbor, Mr. Rogers taught children valuable lessons about kindness, empathy, and patience. His gentle demeanor and unwavering commitment to nurturing the emotional well-being of children made him a beloved figure in the American culture. Mr. Rogers' patience in listening to and understanding the feelings of others, as well as his dedication to promoting positive values, continues to inspire people of all ages, even to this day. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a notable Supreme Court justice. She has passed away, but she said some amazing statements that I think, even if you don't agree with some of her decisions, she made some really logical statements. One she said is, real change, enduring change, happens one step at a time. But this quote really emphasizes the importance of patience and perseverance in achieving progress and social change. Here's another one she had. So often in life, things that you regard as an impediment turn out to be great, good fortune. I like this one. Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. Isn't that awesome? These quotes really reflect her perspective on facing challenges and opportunities for growth and unexpected blessings. Throughout his ministry, Paul faced numerous trials, hardships, and persecutions for spreading the gospel. Despite enduring imprisonment, shipwrecks, beatings, and opposition from both Jews and the Gentiles, Paul remained patient and steadfast in his faith and mission. In his letters, Paul often encouraged believers to remain patient in their trials and to trust in God's faithfulness. For example, in Romans 12:12, he writes, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Additionally, in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 5, Paul describes his own experiences of patience amidst suffering. He says this, "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger." Paul's example of patience in the face of adversity serves as the inspiration for Christians to endure trials with faith and perseverance. Another biblical character in the New Testament who exhibited patience is James, the brother of Jesus. James was initially skeptical of Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. You read that in John 7, verse 5. But later became a prominent leader in the early church of Christ. Throughout his life and ministry, James demonstrated patience and perseverance in his faith. One instance of James's patience is seen in Acts chapter 15 during the Jerusalem Council. The early church was facing a significant theological dispute regarding whether Gentiles who are converted needed to follow the Jewish customs, such as circumcision, in order to be considered part of the Christian community. James patiently listened to the arguments presented by both sides and then offered a resolution that emphasized grace and unity within the church. His leadership and patience in navigating this complex issue helped to maintain the harmony and growth of the early Christian community. In Acts 15, James illustrates the patience and wisdom in his response to the debate over the inclusion of Gentile believers in the early Christian community. While the entire chapter demonstrates James's patience, his specific words are recorded in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 21. I love it. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. And he quotes them. After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he has read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seems good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barnabas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers both, the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles at Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds. Although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. I love the way he writes this letter. In this passage, James patiently really listens to the arguments presented by Peter and Paul, and then offers a resolution that emphasizes grace and unity within the church. He demonstrates patience in his careful consideration of the scriptures and in his desire to find a solution that honors both Jews and Gentile believers. James uses the scriptures for his argument, not just human reasoning. As you well know, James also wrote the epistles of James, where he encourages believers to persevere through trials and tribulations. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, he writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." James really emphasizes our patience and endurance in the midst of challenges and continues to inspire Christians today. When I think of people with patience, who comes to mind? Mother Teresa, renowned for her selfless devotion to serving the poor and the sick in Calcutta, India. Mother Teresa exhibits extraordinary patience in her work, demonstrating compassion and kindness to those in need. I think of Dennis Baker, my high school teacher. If it wasn't for him, I'm not sure I would have graduated from high school, but he took the time to pull me aside, talk to me, and agree to meet with me before school and after school to study the topic of social studies, my worst topic. Nevertheless, he convinced me to stick with it, and I did pass, and I did graduate from high school and went on to college. Dr. Gil Carbajal, my basketball coach, and his response to when I made the basket for the wrong team. I can't believe I did that, but I did, and I swished it on top of that. But after that, my teammates laughed at me, the audience laughed, but Dr. Gil Carbajal called me off the court, put his arm around me, and said, "You made a great basket." I can't believe he said that, but he was giving me this positive influence. We talked later about how to know which direction you're going, but man, that guy had a great heart. He was very patient and understanding with me. Then there's Desmond Tutu, The Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a prominent figure in the South African anti-apartheid movement, he exemplified patience in his pursuit of reconciliation and justice, using peaceful means to bring about positive change. And then I think of Helen Keller. Despite being deaf and blind from a young age, Helen overcame immense challenges with patience and determination and resilience. She became an influential author, lecturer, and advocate for people with disabilities, inspiring countless individuals worldwide. Who are those people in your life that exhibit patience? How about my own impatience? I can remember times I was impatient with my mother. I'll share a couple of short stories. A friend of mine, Tony Aragon, and I were climbing on her roof trying to fix the TV antenna, and the ladder fell down to the ground. Well, my mother was visiting with another lady inside, and they were just carrying on talking away. And I start yelling, "Mom! Mom!" I was trying to get her to get the ladder or get someone to help us get the ladder back to the roof. And she went to the back door and she slammed the door closed. And I thought, I can't believe this happened. Tony and I were just laughing. We finally got her attention and we got a neighbor person to help pick the ladder back up so we could get off the roof. And I said, "Why did you close the door?" And she said, "Well, I told Mary that it was just the lambs coming through the alley." And I said, "When's the last time you ever seen lambs coming through the alley in downtown Fort Collins? Are you kidding me?" Well, we managed to laugh that off, and it's been a long family story for many years. I remember another time when I was on the police department, and again, Tony Aragon happened to be with me, and we had to meet a scheduled time to meet with students at Lincoln Junior High School to talk to them about drug abuse and leadership. Well, we had lunch at my mom's house and we were in a hurry, and I said, "Mom, we gotta go." And she kept trying to talk to me. She wanted to say something else to both of us. I said, "Mom, we have to go." And she looked at me, she goes, my, aren't we important?" And I couldn't help but bust out laughing, and so did Tony. And it really put us back in place, like, come on. We had 20 more seconds. We could have closed out pretty easily without rushing my mom. Well, I'll leave you with a couple of great quotes here. Aristotle said, "Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet." St. Augustine said, "Patience is the companion of wisdom." I want to close with this story, and it's about a father and a son. And the father said, "Son, tomorrow when I get off work, you and I will play catch football." Because his son was complaining to his dad and said, "We never get to do anything. You come home from work, you pick up the paper, then we have dinner, and you and I don't get to do anything." So his dad made this promise. Well, being as the day would normally be, he came home, he picked up the newspaper, and his son came to him and said, "Dad, you promised." He thought to himself, "Yes, I did." He said, "I got an idea, son. Let me rest for a few minutes and finish reading the paper, and let's go over here to the magazine rack, and we'll pull out this image of the map of the world." And he pulled it out, and he cut it up, and he gave a board and a piece of scotch tape, and he said, "Piece this together, and when you're done with that, then I'll be ready to come out and play with you." His dad thought, "Well, this will take him a while." Well, he came back about 5 minutes later, and he had it all put together. And his dad said, "Son, how did you get that back together so quickly?" And he said, "Well, Dad, you see, on the other side of the world of the map is a big picture of a man. And I thought if I could get the man together, then the world would come together." Isn't that poignant? Isn't that something about us? It's us who need to get ourselves together first so the world can be a lot easier to live in. Have patience, and peace be with you.